This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is our pattern of greeting one another. And if you are visiting with us for the first time, we hope that you'll come back again and join with us in that response when you worship with us again. It is good to be together in the house of God, to be together connected online, and to trust that the Spirit of Christ is with us as we worship today. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the very first time, some here from out of town, others perhaps looking for a place to call home. And so we want all of you to feel warmly welcomed in this time of worship. And want everyone, if you would take a moment to sign in and let us know that you're here. Here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads that should be going down the rows and back again. Online, we have a link you can place in your browser to register that way. Also, there is a QR code in your bulletin that will take you to several different links to participate in the worship service, and signing up is one of those ways. So please let us know that you're here. If you are visiting with us and have been praying about and thinking about becoming a member officially of the congregation, there's good news. We have a new member class today that starts right after this service up in the fourth story theater. I think we have over 30 people signed up, so it'll be a great way to meet some new people and learn more about this congregation and our Methodist Wesleyan tradition. If you're a college student, undergraduate or graduate student in one of our local universities, the college students gather every Sunday during the academic year after the 11 o'clock service for lunch. So we hope you'll swing back around at noon and join that group. We'll walk together to somewhere close by for lunch, which will be the church's treat. A couple of other announcements about upcoming events. There's a write-up in your bulletin this morning with more detail about our Theo Ed event, which we are sponsoring alongside Candler School of Theology. We hope that you will register for that event. It's going to be an amazing experience. It's sort of like a TED Talk. We have incredible speakers coming to give their 20-minute speech of a lifetime, so it's going to be great. Also, on that Sunday morning, February 23rd, a couple of the folks, Julian Davis Reed, will be leading us particularly in our worship with music and scripture, and it's going to be wonderful and creative and a wonderful way to worship together. So make sure and be in worship that Sunday morning. Also, mark your calendars for March 1st. That's our great day of service. So that's for folks of all ages to participate in this day of serving together in our community. The details are in your bulletin, and we are looking forward to working side by side to help the Ministry of Launchpad, especially in our community. One more housekeeping thing, just a heads up. We are in the process of transitioning our church software from Realm to One Church. Yay! And it's going to be great, but the transition's going to be something we all need to walk through together. So just be on the lookout for information about what you can do to help make that transition go smoothly. We are still in Luke's gospel in the early days of Jesus' ministry as he begins to call around himself a group of disciples. Today we hear the story of Simon, and we hear Jesus' call to Simon and Jesus' call to us. So let us open ourselves to hear and respond to Jesus' call to follow him.
Oh. join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. We come today with open minds and open hearts.
We rejoice in the love of God that holds us together.
We make comfort in the presence of our Creator. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of tranquility, amidst the chaos of our world, we have not leaned into your calming presence, putting our focus on other things rather than setting our sights on you. In times when anxiety and worry crash over us like waves on the shore, remind us to rely on your steadfast, never-ending love for comfort. Gather us in, gracious God, and help us to take time to center ourselves in your grace. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Emma and Peyton Bradford bring their son before God and before this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Emma and Peyton, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Would you pray with us? Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos,
You swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Henry.
Henry Knight. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend, advocate, and guide all the days of your life. Amen. Now we're going to move a little closer to Mom and Dad and Big Brother and Godfather. And all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Henry Knight, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Mr. Henry, we're going to go for a little walk because your church family wants to see you a little more closely. And I think you'd like to see them as well. Make sure I make it so you can see it. Look at that. Look at all these people. They're looking at you and smiling at you, and they love you already. They recognize in you a beautiful child of God. And in just a minute, they're going to make a promise to do everything they can to live out the love of God in your life. Some of them are going to be extra special. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and maybe one person in this room will be your confirmation mentor. So many ways that we want to show you God's love and that we already experience God's love through you. So let's listen together as they rise in body or in spirit and make their vows to you and to God.
Will the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Henry Knight. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Henry Knight into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Henry Knight, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 836 in your pew Bible, or page 258 in the Story Bible. While Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they had came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they had left everything and followed him. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite our children who are in the sanctuary to make your way forward and join me up here. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. I have some things I want to show you this morning. Come on up. Thank you. Do you see the fish on my stole? There were fish in the story today, so I wore my stole that has fish on it. Come on up. Oh my goodness. What a big group we have today. I think we have new friends and longtime friends. Glad to see everyone. Come on up. Well, I love candles. Have you ever seen a candle before? Yeah, look, there's one right there. There's one right there. And there's one right there. And every candle, when we light it, has fire on it. And the fire gives light and it gives warmth. And it doesn't matter how big or small the candle is or how old or new, the light shines anyway. So I want to show you some of the candles that I brought from my house. This is one of my favorites. This one's really colorful and pretty. And I think light will shine through this one, right? The light of the flame? Yeah, I think so too. This one we've had forever. It's kind of old and it's a little dark and dirty on the inside. And it's burned a hole right there on the side. But you know what? The light shines through the hole and it shines up. And the light still shines through that candle too. This one's a little short and squat. It's really pretty. I haven't lighted it yet, so it hasn't had a chance. But if we light it, the light and the warmth will shine through that candle. And then this one came from my Advent wreath this year. Some of y'all made your Advent wreaths. It's tall and skinny and blue, and it shines light really beautifully. And then this last one, I wonder if this one would shine light. You think? It's a birthday candle. That's right. And it's teeny tiny, but it still shines the same kind of light that this beautiful, colorful, smooth one does. And that makes me think about the light of God's love that lives inside each and every one of us. And everybody, no matter whether you're really small or really big or sort of old and broken down or kind of squat and brand new, every single one of us can shine the love of God. So no matter how big or small you are, you can love people, you can say kind words, you can do things that Jesus would want us to do for the world and for other people. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you. It doesn't matter what we look like, how big or small we are, what we're good at, or what we understand. We know that your love lives in us, and you can shine your love through us no matter what. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go be candles of God's love, right? If you are 3, 4, or 5, or in kindergarten, you can go to Children's Church. You are four. Well, you get to go to children's church while I pack up. Okay. Kindergartners can go to children's church. And I'll put my candles away. Today we hear the story of Simon Peter, as he comes to be known, and his journey from failure to fisher of people. This is one of those stories in the gospel that really invites us to enter into the story, to use our imaginations even, and put ourselves in the place of Simon Peter. And so I want to invite you to do that with me this morning, if you will. Let's gather on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Lake of Gennesaret, with Simon as he's washing his nets. He's had a rough night. He and his brother and his business partners have been fishing all night long, hours and hours and hours of casting their nets, hauling them back in, casting their nets, hauling them back in, empty every time. Their muscles are sore, their legs ache, their feet are sore from clinging to the bottom of the boat, and they are totally disappointed, despairing, about ready to give up. I can just imagine Simon Peter sitting on the shore after pulling his boat up on the shoreline, just washing every bit of his net with anger and frustration. I can hear that voice in his head saying, "Just give it up. There's no hope. There are no more fish out there. Just give up." And I have to wonder if we know that feeling. If we know that feeling of trying again and again to accomplish something, or to make something happen, or to change a situation, or whatever it might be, and we just keep coming up empty, hitting a brick wall, and we're tired and exhausted and ready to give up. Maybe we've been trying to find a new job and we just can't find the right one, or trying to find a relationship that is meaningful and satisfying, or trying to make change in our world and trying to advocate for change and difference and just hitting a brick wall again and again, and we just want to give up. So there we sit on the shore with Simon, hearing that voice, just give up. But then Jesus comes on the scene, and he approaches Simon and says, "Can I borrow your boat? Would you let me sit in your boat and push it a little off the shore onto the water so that I can teach the crowds?" Because there were multitudes of people who were coming to hear Jesus, leaning in and hungry for a word from God. So I imagine Peter says to himself, "Well, I've got nothing to lose, sure." But I wonder if he's listening as he's washing his nets, if Jesus' voice begins to seep into his head and his heart. Don't you wish you knew what Jesus was preaching that day? What was he talking about? What was it that Simon was hearing as he cleaned his net? We don't know. But when Jesus is finished teaching, he dismisses the crowd, and then he turns to Simon and says, "You know that net that you just cleaned? Let's go get it dirty again." I have to say I chuckled a little bit. It reminds me of when I worked at Baskin-Robbins when I was 15 years old, and it's 10 till 11 closing time. I've cleaned the milkshake machine already, and someone comes in and orders a milkshake. Like, I've cleaned it already. But it's much more than that for Simon. "I've given up already, Jesus. I am done. I am not fishing anymore." He says to Jesus, "Master, we have fished all night long. We have given it our best effort. We know what we're doing. We've tried and we've tried and we've tried, and we caught nothing. Yet, there's something that has stirred in Simon's heart. Maybe because of something he heard Jesus saying, or maybe just because he's standing here in the presence of Jesus, looking him in the eyes, but Simon is able to say, "Yet, if you say so, just a glimmer of hope, just enough trust in this one who stands with him to give it a try. And so they go out into the deep waters, as Jesus had instructed, and we know what happens. They start hauling in so many fish, they've got to call James and John. They get so many fish that their boats begin to sink. It's almost comical. And I can almost see Jesus just laughing with joy at this sign of abundance that he's been able to perform in front of these fishermen. The abundance of God that can only be a miracle. And Simon is aware that there is a power at work in this boat that is divine power, that could only be of God. And it begins to dawn on him, perhaps, who Jesus might be. And instead of rejoicing and laughing at the abundant catch, instead of saying, "I want to go wherever you are," he pulls back. And he falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. Don't have anything to do with me. I'm a sinful man." There's that voice cropping up again in Simon's heart and life, telling him to give up, telling him he's not good enough to be in the presence of this one, that he doesn't have what it takes to go with Jesus, that he is carrying the weight of his sin and his limitations and his failure. It would just be easier for everybody if Jesus just walked away and picked somebody else. I wonder if that voice sounds familiar to you. It does to me. God, I'm not up for this moment. I'm not the right person for this job. I don't have what it takes to do what you want to do in the world. I don't have the courage. I don't have the energy. I don't have the expertise or the training. I know the things I've done in my past. I know my limitations. I know my failures. And as King David said, my sin is ever before me. I am not the right person, God. Maybe you feel that way too. I'm not worthy even to be in the church. I'm not capable of being a leader. I can't stand up to the forces in our world. I just call someone else. Well, if you have felt that way, as Simon felt that day, you're in a long line of people from the scriptures. I think nearly every person that God called said the same thing. I am not up for this. I can't do this. Call someone else. Abraham and Sarah said, "We're too old." Moses said, "I can't speak well." Elijah said, "I'm exhausted. Just kill me now." He did. I mean, it was translated a little better than that, but Isaiah said, I'm a sinful man. I can't be your prophet. Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." Mary said, "I'm just a virgin." No one was ready. No one was prepared. No one felt like they were enough. But that's God's way of doing things. God is always choosing people who are unlikely and unready and unprepared because it's not up to them. It's not about them and how great they are and how prepared they are. It's about God's power and God's ability to work through all kinds of people. And so when Simon Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man," Jesus just kind of passes on over it. He simply says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." It's not even a question. It's not even an invitation. From now on, will you join me in fishing for people? No, now on, you will be fishing for people. Don't be afraid, Simon. It's as if he's saying, I know you're afraid, but you're with me now. And we don't have time for your fear. And we don't have time for your self-doubt. We've got work to do. And we know what that work is. We heard a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was in the synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me," Jesus said, "to preach good news to the poor and recovery of sight and liberation for the captives and freedom from the for the oppressed and to announce the day of the Lord's favor." We have got so much work to do. And Jesus needs Simon right now. And Simon's not ready. He's not prepared. He's not educated. He's not all the things he thinks he should be. But ultimately, he is willing. And he drops his net. And Andrew drops his net. And James and John drop their nets and leave everything and follow Jesus. And they learn on the way. Simon continues to make mistakes and stumble and fall and doubt and do the wrong thing. But he continues to follow Jesus. And on Easter morning, when they wake up to find that Jesus has risen again, a new movement explodes. And at the forefront is Simon Peter preaching the gospel. I wonder what nets we're all holding on to this morning. Nets that remind us of our failures, of our fears. Nets that tell us that with everything going on in the world, we are inadequate, we're not enough, there's no way we can make a difference. Maybe it's time to drop those nets and to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid. I know you're afraid, but don't be afraid. You're with me now. And I don't have time for you to doubt yourself because it's not about you anyway. What I need for you is to join me in my mission. You're with me now. And that is enough." May it be so.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith together in the words of the creed that's found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, we meet every Monday and would love to be in prayer for you. Please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there's cards in the pew racks that you can fill out and place those in the offering plates as they come around. I also ask you to take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for them and for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As a church family, we mourn with some of our beloved members. We mourn with Christy Hathcock and her family in the death of her father, James Rusty Hathcock, who died February 1st in Bartlett, Tennessee. His services were held on Thursday, February 6th. We also mourn with West End preschool staff members Karina Gerganitz and Raya Alhamrani in the death of Karina's sister and Raya's aunt, Inga Serion, who died overseas on February 1st in the country of Georgia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for being here with us this morning. And we just take a moment to breathe in your presence. For this space to worship and the signs of you around us and in us, we are so grateful. But God, if we're honest, many of us are weary. The world feels pretty heavy right now in so many ways. We're flooded with the news and images of chaos that threaten to overwhelm us. There are exams and projects due and deadlines to meet. Our bodies are exhausted with illness and fatigue, and we have felt the sting of death and loss. Our spirits are disheartened and lonely, and sometimes we find ourselves ranging from anger to sorrow. We feel like there's so much to be done, and we work, and we see little fruit as a result of our labor. But, oh God, you come along with your deep love and concern for us and the world, and you encourage us to try again, to drop the net one more time and watch you work all things for your good and our good. You amaze us with your generosity toward us and your grace to equip us to keep going. Oh God, who calls us, we are grateful that you see us and our giftedness even when we cannot, and for the reminders that we are more than we can imagine ourselves to be. Thank you for the call to draw near to you, to trust in you, and to try again. And we thank you for Jesus, whose love holds us and keeps us steadfast, and who gave us words when we don't know what to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now we come together to gather our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. If you're joining us online, we invite you to give via the options that are listed on your screen. While if you're here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the aisles or the rows to you. You can also use the QR code that's found in your bulletin to give that way. As we pass the plates down, each row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in this beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
go from this place to continuing to follow Jesus Christ, to stay close to him, and through him to feel the power of the Spirit burning the light and love of God in and through us, that through God's power the world might be changed. So let us go to be Christ's candles in the world.